episode number 282, Be Known for Something with Mark McDonald. Part one. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, this is Making Sunday Happen, the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences. This week, I'm talking with another leading voice in the branding and church communication space. Mark McDonald will be on the podcast today. Mark is the author of Be Known for Something, and I learned a ton from Mark about making sure that you have a consistent thread at your church or ministry that runs through your whole organization, and it speaks to your audience, and it's not just internal speak or internal jargon. I really read through Mark's whole book to prep for my time with Mark. I mined a lot of gold. There's a lot of it. He covers a lot of ground in his book, and we're going to walk through a lot of the major points from the book this week and next week on the show. Before we check the mailbag this week, I wanted to let you know that we've really expanded our ready-made worship media library on our website. We've moved from 4 product lines to 9 product lines. So you can choose from countdowns, series boxes, service packs, motion backgrounds, title graphics, social media content, and more. A lot of that content was packaged together in a service pack or in a series in a box. We've taken that content out of those products and are now selling them individually as well as influxing the library with a lot of new, brand new content as well. So we have really enhanced the site also to give you a great experience finding media and training content for your church. So I would love for you to check it out, 1230.media. Our prayer is to help you transform your worship experience, all experiences and events at your church. We do that through media content and training. So 1230.media. You can also pull down a chunk of free media for you to try. We've loaded up the site with 2 products from each product line that you can download absolutely free to test our content out. That's 1230.media. Then just click free media under the ready-made drop-down to find all of that stuff. All right, let's jump into the mailbag. Here we go. All right, we got a question in this week from Jonathan Stevens from our Making Sunday Happen Facebook group. Jonathan asked, what is the best way for church people to get live church on Sunday morning if they don't have internet access or smartphones? Okay, here's the answer for you. One of the best ways that I found for shut-ins or elderly people or nursing homes, that sort of thing, those people, one major way that those people can enjoy church is through listening through their phone. So you might try a service like phonelivestreaming.com. Again, that's phonelivestreaming.com. This service calls people and connects them to your live stream with a traditional telephone line when your service starts. It actually gives them a call. phonelivestreaming.com. And they can sit there on their phone and either listen to their ear or put it on speakerphone and listen to the service by traditional telephone, phonelivestreaming.com. This might be a great way to continue to minister to folks who can't or should not come out to your live worship experience, phonelivestreaming.com. Hope this helps you, Jonathan. If you have a question for me or our team, feel free to send it in to our show. If you don't know, or if I don't know the answer, rather, I will be happy to find it for you or connect you with somebody who might have the answer for you. So feel free to ask away. Any question on how to enhance your worship experience, whether that's in the areas of first impressions or guest services, production, video production or media content, worship, anything like that. Now, I am not a worship leader. I am not, you know, I've never been a guest services director at a church on staff. I've done those jobs before, but never officially. But I want you to ask away, because we have connections with folks in all of those spaces that I can either have on the podcast to answer your question, or we can connect you with them. So if we don't know the answer, we are happy to try to connect you with somebody who might have an answer. So ask away. I would love to hear from you. You're welcome to email me directly to get that question or comment in, carl@1230.media, or you can find me on social media at Carl Barnhill. Just feel free to contact me directly to send that on in. I would love to share what God is doing at your church or ministry, or answer a question on the podcast for others to benefit from as well. All right, part one of my conversation with Mark McDonald is coming up right after this. Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about my brand new book that I co-wrote with my friend Luke McElroy from Salt Conferences. Several years ago, I put together a production dictionary for folks that served inside the church media and production space. Well, Luke and I expanded that idea and have added several hundred new terms and definitions. So this new edition is over 600 terms in an easy-to-reference dictionary for those who serve in the production, creative, and technical areas of live environments, filmmaking, worship experiences, and more. It also includes a connector guide with over 40 unique connectors categorized by type. You can pick up a copy today in our bookstore at 1230.media/books. That's 1230.media/books. Hey guys, today I welcome Mark McDonald. Mark has over 30 years of experience as a former senior creative director of a large Canadian ad agency. He's been a director of communications, a Bible teacher, and now the president of his own church branding agency. He's the author of Be Known for Something, which we'll dive into very deeply today. Mark, welcome, man. Thanks so much for hanging out.
You know, it's so great. We've connected a little bit over the last few weeks, and yeah. And I mean, I love it. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been at this for 5 or 6 years on the podcast. And it's funny because all the conferences, me and you, you know, our headshots are in the same place, but we haven't really connected personally until recently. So I'm excited to finally actually cross paths with you.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And what's interesting is that it really does take a lot of people to make the world go around.
Yeah.
And when I talk to all the incredible, talented people like you in this church world, I mean, there's so many applications that can be gleaned from podcasts and from articles. Like, what a time to be alive. I mean, it's so great. And I know that 2020, you know, we got inundated with a lot of online conferences. And some people are like, man, I just don't have the time to go to all this stuff. But there's always those ways that you can get that information afterwards. And I mean, it's just incredible what you can learn today and not even leave your home.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit. I mentioned your experience a little bit, but catch us up a little bit on your experience and then what God has you doing now.
Well, yeah, you kind of summed it up. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's been 34, almost 35 years working in communications. Kind of worked my way up through the top of an ad agency in Canada. I'm a graphic designer by trade, so I'm very let's see. I like the visual, and I like to try to figure out, so what does it mean to be creative in the church? And then really focusing in on the branding of the church, or the rebranding of the church. And there's a lot of churches, local churches, small C church, that needs to rebrand. But ultimately, I think that the big C church needs to rebrand. And so what I would like to do is just to work with as many churches as possible, speak at conferences. And that's really what this past year, I haven't traveled very much, but I have also not even had a cold all year. So that's really good. But ultimately, you know, I've written a bunch of articles, communication articles. I think I just finished my a little over 800 magazine article. And then also, you know, speaking at conferences, doing podcasts, TV appearances. Like, it's just, I can't believe I get to do what I get to do. I love all of it. So that kind of sums up where I'm at. I'm also really trying to perfect this church branding process and working with churches all across the country, doing, you know, mystery visits. Everyone calls them something a little bit different, but also doing focus groups. And in this time of COVID, you know, doing some of them online. So I mean, what a time to be alive.
Well, I love what you're up to. And you sent me your book as a, you know, preparation for our time together today. And man, I just loved diving into it. Product placement. it was awesome, man. And I love that we're going to get a chance to dive into it today. But it's all about the church being known for something and branding yourself in a way that is not about you. It's about reaching the community and being known for something and branding yourself in a way that people want to be attracted to you and learn about Jesus ultimately. But get us started here. Tell us how the book. I mean, I'm sure the book is all of your experiences in branding and church world and all that. Tell me how the book came about and why you chose to write it and a little bit of overview on it.
Man, and if you could go back and talk to some of my English teachers and even suggest that I might have written a book, they would still be laughing. I can't believe, like, way back when, the first time that a church conference called me and said, hey, would you mind speaking about this new thing called social media? And then, you know, I was honing in on websites and really talking about them. You know, as it kind of grew, everybody kept saying, you know, I like your teaching style. You're really practical. And I had such a big experience in the non-church world and, you know, in the secular advertising world. And what I wanted to do is say, okay, they've done it for so many years over here a certain way, and the church doesn't do it that way. So maybe we should be actually paying attention a little bit to what's going on there. And as I've been writing articles and talking to a lot of people, you know, people asked, so when are you going to write a book? And I talked to several publishers, ended up with a great publisher. I wrote the book over a 1 year period. It was the biggest daunting task that I've ever done. You know, writing short form articles, usually I'm writing towards the 500 words mark. And then when I started thinking, okay, so how do I do this in long form? But, you know, God's really blessed the book. A lot of people just want to figure out, so what are we actually known for and what should we be known for? And it became an Amazon bestseller.
That's awesome, man. Well, the premise of the on the outset of the book is that the church isn't known for something, that there should be a thread of communication that really unites our ministries and gives us a strategy to reach our community. So, set up that premise for us, and let's start getting into the meat content of the book.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, what we've already talked about, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of opportunities happening, and everybody wants to have a very loud voice. So that loud voice that everyone's saying outside of the church has created a huge amount of marketing noise. Inside the church, do I even need to bring up the fact that there is an awful lot of marketing noise. There's a lot of ministries in everyone's church that just wants to have that loudest voice. And the problem is because of all of this noise, people don't know how to make choices today. And the only way that they can make choices, because there's just too many options, is pretty much whoever rises to the top and has the loudest voice. Like, yeah, you know what? I need that. So I'm going to go with that. So if you're not known for something, if you're just known as a church, you're going to fall into this big pool of noise called church. And so when somebody decides, well, what church should I go to? They're going to go to the pretty much the largest church in your community, or the one thing that that has risen to the top in their focus of their brand, so that somebody says, you know what, that's what I want. And what I would like to do is to be able to get churches to become known for something unexpected, so that the community would actually start paying attention to the church for something that we have to offer. And the best thread, you know, that one thing that you should be known for, oftentimes is something that the community might say, I didn't expect to get that from a church, but that's what I need. And that's where the magic of a brand happens.
Tell me about some of the stats of church decline. You've researched this and you've looked that obviously the last few years, like one thing I was reading in your book, 4,000 churches close every year, 3,500 people leave the church every single day. Tell me your thoughts on church decline.
Well, and even coming through 2020 and watching decline happen, like these are pre-COVID numbers. And I think that like a lot of our communities are going to wake up in 2021 and we're going to say, wasn't there a business there? And like businesses are just closing their doors, small businesses. Churches, the one thing that COVID has done is it's accelerated a lot of things. And if somebody was considering not necessarily attending all the time for a church, COVID has helped them make that decision. And it's gotten people accelerated to the point where they now understand what it means to have their Sundays back. And what grieved me a lot was at the beginning of COVID, a lot of churches were like, oh my goodness, finally we have online services. It's going to be so easy for you to sit at home and do nothing except for just sit and watch the online service. And in fact, you don't even have to get out of bed. You can watch church from your bed. And like they made everything so incredibly easy for you to adopt the online service. And then I kept saying to pastors, it's like, okay, eventually you're going to have to ask them to come back. So if you set it up as, oh my goodness, why on earth would you ever want to sit in our pews again? Well, they might not want to sit in your pews again. And this is all a big concern. So COVID has changed everything. But ultimately, I love demographics, mainly because I want to get into the minds of the audience. And effective communication rises and falls on how well you know your audience. If you don't know your audience, you can't talk to them. Or you can talk to them and they'll just ignore you. Mm-hmm. And that's where I find the church is today. Most of our communities, you can almost divide it into a third, a third, a third. A third of the people don't have any connection to any church, nor do they want to. Another third have possibly a connection to a church, but they just choose not to go to a church. And then the other third who kind of, you know, they've had a connection to a church in the past and they regularly attend. And Carl, you and I both know what that means.
One out of four Sundays, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. One or two times a month. Or the Christers, you know, the Christmas and Easter people, mm-hmm. You know, you have a one third of your community who regularly attends church. But the problem with them is they don't really understand why they go to church. And that's why we end up with a lot of people drifting from one church to another because it's we tried that one for a while, so we'll try another one for a while. And therein lies the problem, is that if you're just known as a church, you're only going to talk to about a third of your community. So we just need to figure out, you know, who are the people in your neighborhood? Do you want to sing that for me?
No, I'm good. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, exactly. And if we discover who's in our community, God's placed us as a local church in our community for a particular reason, and we need to fall in love with our community again.
So how do we turn that tide? You mentioned, you know, pastors don't get to, don't tell them they can be too comfortable staying at home because they might not come back. So how do we turn that tide as a whole? What do you think it looks like? I mean, obviously COVID numbers are all over the place and we're not sure when normal is going to happen. But where do you see us in the next, you know, 6 months maybe? Let's say COVID dies down a little bit. How are we turning that tide and bringing them back to church and deal with this problem of church closings, people leaving the church every day?
The one thing that I know from my decades in marketing is that there's a wrong perception of what marketing is. A lot of times people think, man, you're trying to convince me that something's good. Well, that's not the case at all. In fact, what good marketing is actually confirming in your mind what you're receiving and giving you words of why you enjoy it. So what we need to do is we need to figure out, so what is it that can rise to the surface so that the average person who attends your church would say, wow, that is why I go, and hearing it over and over again. So, you know, that should have been done before COVID, but right now during COVID, there's a lot of churches, and I do a lot of mystery visits, and I you know, great preaching of the word, but there's no actual controlled focus on the words of why you attend. And so what needs to happen as we roll forward, we need to control the words. And in order to control the words, we need to know what the words are, which is the thread. And that thread needs to be something that's said over and over again on a regular basis, not to the point that everyone in your pews are sick of it, but you as a pastor, you know, ministry leader, you'll get sick of it because it's like, oh my goodness, how many times do you have to say that? Mm-hmm. But if people are only coming 1 to 2 times a month, I mean, we're talking to people 12 to 15 times a year. So if that's the case, we have to remind them a whole lot more than we, you know, people that are actually working in the ministry.
Right.
So as we move forward, we need to figure out what is the beneficial language that we need to reinforce on a regular basis so that people will say, you know what, I've missed that over the last year and I want to come back for it.
So on that, people are making a choice. So let's circle back to that for a second. So you write in your book that people want choices to solve something. Walk that out for me.
Yeah. So if, you know, as we go about our days, we have needs or concerns or goals. And so those three things, we're oftentimes just seeking solutions for the needs and concerns or a path to the goals. So if I say, man, all I need for our church is a good video company. Well, like you get it into your mind and you think, oh, I got to get it. It's on my to-do list. It's like, it's just top of mind. And so you're out there searching and looking all the time. So you're seeking solutions. So if your church is not providing the words to say we are a solution to a prevalent need or a need that rises to the top, then you're just going to get ignored. Even better, if they have a goal in life And you say, you know what? We want to provide a path to that goal for you. Then all of a sudden it's like the magic happens because people say, wow, that's what I want. Like it, there was in Men's Health magazine, I read it occasionally. I even work out occasionally, but I was reading this article about finances and the importance of good financial security. And then they said the number one thing is get debt free. Like you just have to get debt free. And I quickly looked to see if Dave Ramsey wrote it, and he hadn't. It was a secular writer, and they kind of walked through some of the steps, and then at the bottom it said, this is a critical step for financial security. If you struggle with it and you've tried all of the things above and you can't master it, you probably should try Financial Peace University. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's awesome. Except it said, but be aware that most times Financial Peace University is offered in a church. And it's even okay to go to church in order to get this. But that shows you, you know, in secular writing, in secular community, people are scared to go to church. People don't know what the big benefit of going to a church is. And here's a secular writer saying, you know what, here's the benefit of you going to a church. That's what we need to kind of find out. What is our community? What's the big concern, need, or goal in our community that's not necessarily spiritual? And bring up the fact that we have a solution to that, or we have a path to that goal. And then I know I'm jumping way ahead now, but then, like, once you become known for that secular thing, then you as a church need to connect it to Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel. Like, we know what's the biggest solution to the needs and concerns in our communities is Jesus Christ. We really probably don't totally believe that, or else that, you know, that's like a big rabbit trail. But we need to make sure that that we take them to Jesus. But in order, if you bring up Jesus too fast, it will actually make them ignore you faster. So if you love them the way that Jesus told you to be known for love as a disciple of Jesus Christ, well, once we are known for love, which is actually helping them in their current need, then we move on to a spiritual need.
So to that, in order to, so you're talking about hitting their felt need, but and their perception of us. So your secular writer that you mentioned, the perception is you can go to a church to do this. Be aware you're going to go to, like, the perception is kind of interesting. So talk to me about how people's perception is your brand, and how people perceive you is the actual reality of what's going on, not necessarily your internal language.
Yeah, perception is reality. So if I'm talking to somebody and they're convinced of something because of something that's happened in the past, it's awfully hard for me to convince them something different. I mean, I'll just jump onto Twitter and see how that works. Look at the last political, environment. It's hard to convince somebody of something different. The only way you can do that is for them to experience it themselves or hear it on a regular basis. So what we need to do is, you know, the average person in our community thinks about church in a particular way. And it's, I find it fascinating what I was just talking about. I mean, the disciples, Judas had just betrayed Jesus. He flees the room. And then, like, you can imagine the awkwardness of okay, so what's next on the agenda? And then it's like, then the disciples say, okay, well, it seems like something big's going to happen here. Jesus, if we are going to be your followers, what will we be known for? Which is a little variation on the actual translation. But Jesus said, oh, well, they'll know you're my disciples if you have love one towards another. So we're supposed to be known for love. So what is the perception of the church? Oh, my goodness, they just love everybody. Well, you go out and you talk to people in the community today, that is not the perception of the church. In fact, the number one perception of the church in the non-church world is what we're against. And that's why we need to be known for something. We have to overcome the perception of negativity of all the things that, you know, you can come to our church and we're going to tell you everything that's wrong with your life. And we're going to tell you all the things that the Bible says is not good. They're called sins and you are a sinner, you know, that type of stuff. That's what their perception is. You know, when I talk to people and I get to do focus groups for churches where I'm talking to community members, you know, the one thing that I hear, you know, when we do a group of the unchurched, I oftentimes hear, yeah, I'd like to come to this church, except that I'm sure that a lightning bolt would come right through the ceiling. I think we've all heard that. And it's that perception of I'm wildly broken and the church is where God exists and he's going to condemn me for all of my brokenness. And so we've got to figure out how do we switch that around to say, hey, we're a church of broken people who have found a better way and we'd like to bring you along with us.
How do we know people's perception of our church? Like how can I gauge or analyze that? I can get on Twitter and see, you know, how people feel of Christians in general, but how do I know what people think of my church and my community?
Well, and that's where it sounds absolutely ridiculously easy, but you got to talk to them. And I'm amazed. So, you know, there's a tension that happens in communications today with the church is that, you know, effective communication rises and falls on how well you know your audience. Well, immediately, most pastors and most ministry leaders think, oh, our audience, and that's the congregation. Well, no, the problem is that you have this tension point of that you have two audiences. You have an internal audience, an external audience, internal congregation, external community. Your congregation is a subset of your community. And so we need to figure out how do we talk to our internal audience, but how do we also talk to our external audience? And the best way to do that is through focus groups. That can be done with the church, through the church, with a church leader. And this is going to sound like it's a sales tool, but it really is easier to use an outsider to do that. You know, I've done like a lot of focus groups, and in doing focus groups, the number one thing in my toolbox is that I pull out right at the very beginning, I don't go to this church, and you'll notice that there's no leadership here from the church.
So you can say whatever you want.
I don't really know this church very well, so I really need you to all explain something to me, where if it's a church leader, they tend to give you the right answer rather than what they're actually feeling.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Well, hey guys, thanks for checking out the show this week. Next week, we're going to continue our conversation with Mark McDonald. We're going to talk more about what should be in your thread. We'll talk about the meaning of the words be known for something. And we'll also talk about the benefits of being known for something and more. So part two of our series with Mark McDonald will be next week. Also, in 2 weeks on the show, we'll start a series that will blow you away. I'll be talking with Savannah Kimberlin from Barna. And in my research for prepping my interview with Savannah, the stats that Barna has researched and published for the state of the church is scary, insightful, and really, really informative. So you're not going to want to miss that series coming up in 2 weeks. Savannah is Barna's Director of Published Research. So we'll be walking through some of the top findings from Barna, showing real stats on church online, church attendance, attention spans, millennials, all kinds of stuff. I just recorded that interview today. It is amazing. And you are going to want to be here for those 2 weeks of the show. It's going to be some of my favorites for the year. Very, very informative, and really gives us a picture of where the church is and also where we're going and how to reach our people, both with physical worship experiences and digitally. So you want to be here for that. Savannah Kimberlin from Barna will be on the show in 2 weeks. All right. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.